Well, dear friends, our text this morning is Ephesians chapter 1. It's quite a long text, verses 3 to 14. I'm not going to read all of that to you. I've read from Ephesians chapter 1 last few Sunday mornings, so I don't feel I need to do that. I'll just read to you the first verse of this text, verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, last Sunday morning, if you were here, we carried on looking together at this epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. And we looked at verses 3 to 6. So there's a little bit of an overlap this morning, what we were looking at last time. We saw that the apostle wrote to these Ephesian believers, to the Ephesian church, in this chapter, in these verses, about all of these spiritual blessings that are in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings, which if you are a Christian, you have already received and are receiving and going to receive. Not a Christian here this morning. You know nothing as yet, at least as yet, about these spiritual blessings until you come to be in Christ, until you be a believer in Christ. And then you begin to know these things in your own personal life and experience. We saw, first of all, last time about the person who bestows these spiritual blessings. He is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bestower of them upon us. Secondly, he bestows them upon us through the second person of his Trinity or Godhead. He is the person by, in, or through whom these things are bestowed upon the church and upon all Christian believers. In other words, Jesus Christ, the Beloved, beloved of God and beloved of his people. One of the evidences that we are his people is that we love him. We love him because he first loved us. Thirdly, we looked at one of the great reasons why these things are only bestowed upon some people and not upon others. We must let God be God. And God is one, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is one who chooses or elects and predestinates certain people in Christ even before the foundation of the world. You may have, I hope you haven't got a problem with that. If you have a problem with that, you really do have a problem with the Bible, with God's word, because that is what it clearly teaches. And we need to not bring what we think to the scriptures. We must receive it as a revelation from God. And God's word reveals to us that he chooses or elects and predestinates some people in Christ before the foundation of the world to eternal life. Then fourthly, we saw the ends to which these blessings are bestowed. They're bestowed so that throughout the eternal ages we might praise God for his grace. We might praise him this morning for his grace toward us, and we're going to do that forever and forever in heaven. But also he bestows these blessings upon us so that you and I, conversion is not the end, justification is not the end, justification leads to our sanctification, and God bestows his blessings upon us so that we might be without blame before him in love, and also that we might be holy even as he is holy. And that's what God does through our Christian lives. He makes us more and more holy like him. And we concluded by asking whether these things have been bestowed upon us by God through Christ because of this reason and for these other reasons to the end which I just mentioned. So we're in Ephesians. We're in this new series, Sunday morning series on Ephesians, looking at those verses last time. This morning, as I say, we're in verses 3 to 14. In verses 3 to 14, as you'd imagine, because it overlaps with 3 to 6, we're still dealing with these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But the way I'd like to look at it this morning is like this. I want us to look together at the three tenses or the three types of these spiritual blessings. There are three tenses. and the three different kinds or types of them. Well, what are they? Well, they are, first of all, they are certain present spiritual blessings that you and I, if we're Christians, we have and we are enjoying and being benefited by and being blessed by right now, right at this moment, right as we sit here listening to these things. There are certain things that we're enjoying right now in the present. Verses 5 and 6. And then in verse 7, we take this as the apostle has written about these things and received them by God through revelation, because, to be honest, if it was me, I think I'd start in the past, and then I'd come to the present, and then I'd come to the, go into the future. But Paul begins with present blessings in verses 5 and 6. And then in verse 7, he writes to the Ephesians about certain past blessings which God had blessed them with. So in other words, why were they blessed with these present ones? Well, because of past ones that God had bestowed upon them. And then finally, thirdly this morning, God has not only blessed us in the past and the present, but because of that, certain future blessings are guaranteed to us because we are in Jesus Christ the righteous. And he deals with those in verses 11 and 13. So let's look at these blessings and let's ask ourselves whether we have begun to enjoy them, we are enjoying them, and we're going to be enjoying them in the future. Indeed, we're going to be enjoying them forever. So look at the present ones, first of all, that we are enjoying now, right at this very moment, if we are believers, if we are those who have turned from sin and trusted in Christ. Say verses 5 and 6. What are they? Well, Paul, again, by God's revelation to him, by inspiration, he chooses out, or he picks out two. The first is that if we are Christians, we are believers in Christ, we are those who have been adopted. We are an adopted people. We are adopted children, adopted sons and daughters of God. Paul mentions this in verse 5. He says about God, having, this is something that he's done, having predestinated us unto, to what? To what end? To what end has God chosen us? Or to what end has God elected us or predestinated us? He's chosen us in order that we might be his adopted children, adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to the Father, according to the good pleasure of his will. Every single Christian, every single believer is somebody who's been adopted by God. So in other words, if this is so of us, God is now our Father, not only in the sense of creation, but also in the sense of redemption and salvation. God is our Father in that double sense. He's our Father because he's made us and not we ourselves. He is also our Father because he has recreated us in Jesus Christ. God is our, your and my loving Heavenly Father if we have been redeemed. He's not. He's not Father in that sense, although he is in the other. What a great blessing that is. God is our God, is our Father, the great blessing of the new covenant. Also, our adoption is this. It is then our becoming his adopted children or sons. Listen to the Apostle John in chapter 1 and verse 12 of his gospel. He says, but as many as received him, as many as received Christ, to those people gave he the power, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God. And it is a privilege, it's a great privilege, even to them that believe on his name, on the name of the only begotten of the Father, of Jesus Christ. So if we are Christians, God is our Father. We are his children. We are his beloved children, his dear children or sons. Adoptive children, not natural, but adopted children or sons. Not in the sense, of course, that Christ is his son, in that divine sense, in a Trinitarian sense. But in this adopted way, we become part of his family. And it also means that God adopting us then into his family, putting or placing his name upon us. We are God's people. We are Christians. The name of Christ is upon us. That's a great privilege, it's a great blessing, it's also a great responsibility that we never bring dishonor upon his name. And also then his giving us all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are an adopted people. Before, we were not in God's family. God wasn't our Father. Christ wasn't our Savior and our beloved Redeemer. We weren't brothers and sisters with other people in the church. But now God is our Father. He is our kinsman Redeemer. We have all our brothers and sisters in Christ wherever we go in the world. My dear friend this morning, are you somebody who has been adopted by God in this spiritual sense? We're not dealing with a physical adoption like there is in the world, the adoption of babies. This is the adoption, spiritual adoption of God, of boys and girls and men and women into his spiritual family, the family of the household of faith. Well, that being so, if we are those who have been adopted, what is also true of us now? Well, not only that we have been adopted, but now also, my dear friends, and this has really helped me in this past week, I have to say, looking at this, reading about this and preparing this, we are also those who have been accepted. Another present spiritual blessing has not only been adopted by God, but also been accepted by him. It has to be so, doesn't it? Somebody who adopts a child accepts the child into the family. We're adopted by God. God accepts us now into his family and into his presence and into union and communion with himself. In verse 6, Paul says, "To the praise of the glory of his, the Father's grace, wherein he has made us, you and me, if we are in Jesus Christ, he has made us accepted." We are now accepted in the beloved. We are no longer those who are rejected of God, who are going to be rejected by God. God now loves us. He receives us. He welcomes us into his family and into his fellowship because we are in, this is how he can do it, because we are in Christ. He doesn't see us in our sins any longer. He sees us in Jesus Christ. And as he loves the Son, he loves his people. As he accepts the Son, think of where the Son is, he also accepts us. So this acceptance is God never turning away from his people when they first come to him, or from sin in repentance and faith, or whenever they come back to him from perhaps a period or a season of backsliding. God forbid we should do so. But if we turn back from a period of backsliding, God never turns his face away from us. He never turns his back from us. He never turns away from us whenever we return to him in repentance and faith. But it is rather his receiving us or welcoming us back every time to himself as his dear children with great joy and rejoicing. My dear friends, this is not a license to sin. This is rather something that should impress holiness upon us, because we don't want to sin against such grace and such love and such kindness and mercy, but rather seek to please him who has been so kind to us. Think here of Luke chapter 15. Think of the parable of the prodigal son. Think of the father's welcome of the prodigal son who had gone into such a state of misery, had gone into such sin, had gone into such godlessness and worldliness. And yet, on his returning back to his father, what does the father do? The father is looking out for him. The father, when he sees him, runs to him, welcomes him back, puts a ring upon his finger, clothes him with the best clothes, and he causes great festivity and celebration to be in the family. That was Christ speaking about an earthly father's welcome back of a prodigal son. But my dear friend, this is your heavenly Father receiving you back when you turn to him for the first time, when you first trust in Christ. You receive a father's welcome, as the hymnist says, and pardon of all your sin. And whenever we turn to him, when we turn back to him, genuinely, true repentance, godly sorrow for our sin, for our backsliding, again God welcomes us back into fellowship with himself. I found that very helpful this week. So very often when we sin against him, we think we're coming back to God, and God is God is displeased with us and he's reluctant to receive us back. No, no, my dear friends. When you turn back to him, he loves to see that. And he welcomes you back with loving arms and with a loving heart. He loves to see us returning back to himself. So that should encourage you. If you've never turned to God, it should encourage you to turn to him for the first time. Because that's the kind of welcome that you're going to receive. He won't cast you out. He'll receive you. And if you're coming back to him after a season of backsliding, to encourage you to come back, you'll receive a father's welcome, pardon, for all your sin. So these are some of God's present spiritual blessings upon us now at this moment. Our adoption into his family and our acceptance in Jesus Christ. But then we have to ask, well, why? Why is this? How is this? All this love and all this mercy and all this grace. How has this come to me? How is it that God has adopted me into his family? Me a sinner, he so holy. How is it that he can accept somebody like me? Well, it's because, verse 7, of the past spiritual blessings that God has lavished upon us. And what are they? Well, they are, there's two of these. The first is this. God adopts us and accepts us because we are those whom he has redeemed. We are the redeemed of the Lord. It is because of our redemption. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, verse 7. In whom? In the beloved, in Jesus Christ. We, Paul says. We, me, you, Ephesians, all believers. We have redemption. What a place to come to, my dear friends. We have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the power of that blood, through the efficacy of that blood, the forgiveness of sins we have too, according to the riches of God's grace. It has to be riches because we are such sinners. But my dear friends, God is so gracious. He can cover all our sins. He can redeem us and he can forgive us of all our sins. Because God is such a gracious God. Say, what is this redemption? This redemption is our Redeemer, Jesus Christ the righteous. Redemption means buying or purchasing us back. That's redemption. Us, the redeemed, back from spiritual slavery. How has he done this? He's paid the price. He's paid the redemption price of our spiritual freedom that our sins deserved, according to God's law. And that is the price of his own life, his own life's blood upon the cross of Calvary. That's redemption, isn't it? There we are in all our sins. We don't repent, we'll be punished for them. But Christ has paid the price to deliver us from our sins, from spiritual slavery to our sins and to the devil. He's paid the price that sin demanded, the law demanded, which was his own life, his shedding his own blood on the cross of Calvary. We have it portrayed here for us, presented for us in the wine, the symbol of his shed blood to pay for our sins. Or Paul puts it in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So that is a past blessing. We're adopted, we're accepted, because God in the past, if we're Christians, he has redeemed us by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. But one of the first great blessings of redemption, first in order, if you like, first on the list is this. If you and I are redeemed, because Christ has done this work for us, in accomplishing redemption for us, another past blessing is this, that he, God, has also forgiven us. Notice Paul's first stopping off point here. In whom, in Christ, we have redemption through his blood. And one of the first great blessings of our redemption is that God has covered and forgiven all our sins according to the riches of his grace. God has cancelled them. God has and is going to let us off them. The infinite debt of our sin that we could never pay for ourselves. But he's done this because Christ, the infinite God-man, has come into this world, as I say, has paid the infinite price of infinite punishment that justice demanded for our sin upon the cross of Calvary, so that you and I now have nothing to pay for our sins. They've been paid for, paid in full, and so we don't have to ever pay the punishment of them ourselves. That's why we love him, because he did this for us, paid such a price, that we might go free, that we might be forgiven. Nothing to pay, the hymnist says, nothing to pay, never a word of excuse to say. Year after year thou hast filled the score with all your sins, owing thy Lord still more and more. Hear the voice of Jesus say, verily thou hast nothing to pay. Ruined, lost art thou, and yet I forgave thee all that debt. How we bless him, how we praise him, how we thank him, because we look back, we look on all our sins before we became Christians, and then we look at all of them, the mountains of them after we became Christians, and yet Christ paid for them all, nothing to pay. The debt is so great. What will you do with the awful weight? How shall the way of escape be made? Nothing to pay, yet it must be paid. Hear the voice of Jesus say, verily, you have nothing to pay. All has been put to my account. I have paid the full amount. What a wonderful thing it is when a debt is paid, a financial debt is paid, but Christ has paid our spiritual debt. Nothing to pay, yes, nothing to pay. Jesus has cleared all the debt away, blotted it out with his bleeding hand. Free and forgiven and loved you stand. Hear the voice of Jesus say, verily, you, if you're a Christian, have nothing to pay. Paid is the debt and the debt are free. Now, I ask you, lovest thou me? You asked that of Peter, didn't you? Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he asks you this morning, do you love me? We say, yes, Lord, we love you. Because you've blessed us with these present spiritual blessings. You've adopted us. We're accepted in you. And you've blessed us with all these past ones. That's why we have the present ones. You've redeemed us by your own blood. And you've forgiven us of all our sins. And now, because of these things, we can look forward to such a blessed future in this world, and also when we depart out of it. Well, before we go there, let me ask you, my dear friend, have you been redeemed? And have you been forgiven of all your sins? Not for your sake, but for Jesus' sake, because of what he did for you. He did this. You love him. I ask thee, lovest thou me? He says this morning. Well, this finally leads us in the third place in verses 11 and 13 to the blessings which are still to come. We have past ones, and that's why we have present ones. My dear friends, God still has blessings to come, blessings in store for us in the future. What are they? Well, they are our inheritance. Verse 11. In Christ also, we have all this, but also we've obtained an inheritance. As Peter says in one of his epistles, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. What is this inheritance? It's a glorious inheritance. It is this. It is your and my one day being forever in glory or in heaven with our Father who's adopted us, with our Lord Jesus Christ through whom we've been redeemed, with their holy angels, with the rest of all their elect people, as glorified spirits in glorified bodies. Our bodies are going to be raised incorruptible one day. We're going to be perfectly holy. Because of that, we're going to be perfectly happy. We're going to find ourselves ultimately in a final state in a new heaven and a new earth, where there is going to be no more curse, no more death, no more pain, no more sighing, No more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more any other consequences of the fallen sin. But everything is going to be peace, everything's going to be bliss, everything is going to be blessedness. My dear friends, this is not a pipe dream of people, naive people who have been deceived. This is what God has revealed. This is what is in store, which God is treasuring up for us in the future. This is what Christ is preparing for us. He's preparing for us a place with him and a home in heaven, fully redeemed, even from these bodies of sin and death. My dear friend, this morning, do you have this inheritance? You may have come into some kind of financial inheritance, a family inheritance sometime in the past. You might come into one time in the future. But will you one day go into this glorious heavenly inheritance which God gives to us, which we obtain through grace and through faith in Jesus Christ? You go to heaven, my dear friend. When you leave this world, when your time is up, when your appointed time comes, when death comes, are you going to heaven because you're Christ's, or are you still going to hell, to eternal punishment? So a future blessing is our future inheritance of heaven. How do we know that we're going there? Well, Paul deals with that in verse 13, doesn't he? The guarantee of this, the assurance, the certainty of this is another blessing, which guarantees this future one, is that you and I as Christians have been sealed by God. Verse 13, in Christ, he says, you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, you heard the gospel, the outcall of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This is God our Father guaranteeing our future inheritance to us by putting the distinctive divine mark, seal, or sign of his Spirit upon us when we believe in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The Spirit himself is the seal. And if the Spirit of God is within us, and we have the evidences of him being within us, we know where we are going. It is God's deposit. It's God's guarantee to us that we are destined to glory. Just like somebody, perhaps, who has a shipping company. That's how it used to happen in times past, probably still today. Somebody who has a shipping company, a number of ships, and they trade, they have cargo, taking it from one place to another. In times past, what they would do, they would mark the cargo with their own seal, so that perhaps it was with other different bits of cargo, with other people's seals upon them. But if that person had their seal on that particular bit of cargo, then everybody knew that it was theirs. And also they knew where it was going to be going. God has put his seal upon us. His Holy Spirit is within us. And because of that, we know that we are his, that we are his possessions in Jesus Christ. And the fact that Christ is within us is the very guarantee, my dear friends, of where we are going. It is impossible. If the Spirit of God is within you, it's impossible you won't reach glory. It's impossible. It's absolutely certain and sure, because God is all-powerful and won't see any of his works, any of his people come short of his glory. Once, my dear friends, because of sin, we came short of his glory, but through grace we won't fall short of the glory which is to be revealed. To look at it in another way, when somebody wants to buy something, sometimes they put down a deposit, don't they? And it's the promise, it's the pledge that they're going to come back and possess the whole and take it for themselves. And God's deposit is he's given us the first fruits, isn't he? He's given us something of the earnest of the Spirit. But it's just the proof that one day he's going to fully redeem us And we're going to have the full harvest. We're going to have be filled forever and ever with the Spirit of the living God. My dear friends, has this happened to you? Has God sealed you with His Spirit? Is His Spirit in you? If it's not, you're not a Christian. Paul's clear about that. He was clear about that, wasn't he? In Romans chapter 8. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you are a Christian, His Spirit is within you. And it's the earnest of our future inheritance. I trust that you've been sealed in this way. So, dear friends, we've looked at these verses 3 to 14 in Ephesians 1 this morning. These three tenses or types of these spiritual blessings. The present ones, adoption and acceptance. The past ones, redemption and forgiveness. Future ones, our future eternal inheritance and reward, and the guarantee of that, the promise, the pledge of that, God has sealed us with His Holy Spirit of promise. My dear friend, this morning as we close, have you entered into these blessings? Have you been blessed with the present ones? Already with the past ones? And are you going to be blessed with these future ones? And that really, as you sit here, that's what you're really looking forward to. You might be looking forward to some other things in this life to come, certain things this week, which are pleasant to you, pleasurable to look forward to. But what marks you out is this, that you are looking forward to heaven. Not sitting in God's house made with hands, on seats here, for a time, Sunday by Sunday. One day, being in the glory, in that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, being with God, being with Christ, which is far better, being in the company of an innumerable company of holy angels, with all the saints, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and so on, and being there forever and forever, perfectly holy at last, and perfectly happy. Is that what you're looking forward to? Surely by faith, that'll be the case. If you are one of the Lord's children, adopted into His family.